The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about this morning, trusting in the Lord. Is that a good thing? We absolutely must trust in the Lord. I thought it was very interesting that Ivy mentioned to Tony about trusting. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Proverbs 3. We're going to take a look at that this morning and try to discern exactly what it takes for us as believers in Jesus Christ to trust in Him. And if you're not, you know, you do not have that direct connection to Almighty God through Jesus, then that's the first step. That's how you begin to trust the Lord, Almighty God, the Father. You trust Him through Jesus Christ and what Christ did for us on the cross. But then our walk of faith begins, and we have to begin to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. That is a promise that He has given us. We must capture that, believe it, and trust in our God. I heard a little story this week about a widow who was every day. She's a widow, but she had several children. Every day she'd go out on her porch, and she'd just praise God. Thank you, God, for providing for all my needs. You know that we need food for I need food for my children. You know that I have many needs. I just thank you, Lord, for your provision. And she lived next door to an atheist. The atheist got tired of hearing it, so he said, I'm gonna fool her. So he went out, and he bought some groceries. And he brought it over and set it on her porch. And when she came out that morning to praise God, ask God for provisions, she found the three bags of groceries. And she just started praising God and glorifying God. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. And the atheist was hiding there in the bushes. And when he heard this, he jumped out and he said, "You foolish Christian, God didn't provide that food for you. I did. I bought those groceries and I brought them over to you. And it was my provision, not God's provision." And the woman she didn't miss a beat. She just kept praising God. She said, "Thank you, Father, for providing for my needs and using the devil to do it." Amen. And I use that illustration because I want you to know that we cannot intentionally try to understand what God or the way God is going to move in order to meet our needs. We can't figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. Just trust that He's going to meet your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, whatever those needs might be. So, as we look at this, I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about this particular scripture. Let's go back and look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read a little more of that. It says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." This is a promise. If we will keep the commandments of the Lord, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. So find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." This is speaking, to me, this is talking about being a person of integrity. He's talking about mercy and truth. And if we have mercy and truth and we do not let these things forsake us, we'll find favor in the sight of God and man. The Hebrew word here, chesed, for mercy, means goodness, kindness, faithfulness, by implication, good deeds. Are we people of good deeds? Are we looking for opportunities to do good deeds? It starts in our home. It should overflow into our extended family. It should overflow into our community. It should overflow wherever we go. Good deeds. I could tell you, I've learned a lot from my wife. She's probably the queen of good deeds. She is always thinking of other people before she thinks of herself. When she buys things at the grocery store, if there's something on sale and she gets and she can purchase extra ones, she's always thinking about who she can give those to. You know, just that's the kind of thought process that really needs to go on in our heart and our mind, is to think about good deeds. In Acts chapter 9, there's a story about a lady. It goes like this, at verse 36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. The woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her up in the upper room. But since Lydia was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. What an incredible miracle this was. But what I want to point out to you here in regards to this scripture is that this lady was all about doing good deeds for other people. They sent for Peter to come because they loved her so much, she was always thinking about someone else. Now, I want to see these kind of miracles take place in the body of Christ. People can be raised from the dead. Jesus said we can do not only the same miracles he did, but even greater. And when he said greater, he didn't mean quantity. He meant quality. That word that is used there is always used for quality of miracles or quality of anything. So thoughtful deeds, kindness, thinking of others. The other word here is truth. Firmness, faithfulness, trustworthiness. This is talking about mercy and truth, being a person of integrity, keeping the commandments of the Lord. Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The Father is glorified when people see our good works. It's imperative for the body of Christ to be about good works, to focus on doing good deeds and good works. I'm thankful for this congregation, the people here, because you support good works. Not only good works, the ministry in Athens, but you support all kinds of good works that take place in our community, our thrift store, our food pantry. You support all giving. We have a benevolence fund that we have to help people, to help one another, and to help people in our community. The ministries all over the world that we support. It's, you know, you do this because I believe you're people of good deeds. You recognize the importance. It's not just about this church. You know, if we wanted to, we would take all the funds that come in and we'd put it toward our debt. And that'd be an awesome thing to do, but it wouldn't be God's will. How many know that you can do something that is good and it's not necessarily the will of the Lord? We just need to make sure that we're hearing from God. In Titus 2, beginning with verse 6, it says this, "Likewise, exhort young men to be sober-minded." And he wasn't just talking to young men, but he was talking to the whole body of Christ there. "All things showing yourself to be patient of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. You see, if we're this kind of people, if we're all about serving others, even our enemies have a hard time finding something evil to say about us. How many know who Rick Warren is? Saddleback Church. Okay. Rick Warren, you know, he's a very famous pastor. And I can't say that I agree with everything that Rick Warren believes and teaches. However, there is some things about Rick Warren that I have to admire. And one of the things that I have to admire about Rick Warren is that he has made himself available to the media. He talks to them, and he's established a rapport and a relationship with them. He had an interview with Piers Morgan. I don't know exactly how long ago that was, but it was some time ago. And Morgan asked him several questions, and he was talking specifically about homosexuality. And he asked him his position on homosexuality. And Rick Warren told him that he did not believe that any person should be mistreated, abused in any way. However, according to the Bible, homosexuality is wrong. And he followed up by saying, now I tell you, I know that we disagree on this, Pierce, but this is my position based on the Word of God, and I fear God more than I fear you. That's powerful. And he went on to say, you know, some other things. And he asked him, well, you know, how can a godly man, a Christian, be opposed to homosexuals having the same rights as a man and woman to be married? And Rick Warren, he said, well, I want to rephrase that. I believe in the biblical mandate of marriage being between one man and one woman, and we should not change the definition of that. Okay. This is a man who has a great platform, and he's using it very well. Okay. Now, I'm sure some of you disagree with some other things that he says and believes in, but still, he's taking a very hard stand. Very difficult stand, because the world wants us all to conform to the world's perspective on these things. And not only that, there's a lot of other things that the world's trying to bring the church into conforming to the way of the world rather than the way of the Lord. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, we'll be transformed when we allow the Lord to minister to us. Now, one of the reasons that Rick Warren is able to speak to these people is because he has established a rapport with them. He has, he does reverse tithing. He gives 90% of his income and lives on 10% of his income. Documented. Now, does that mean that Rick Warren is a poor man? Absolutely not. He is very wealthy because he's very successful with books and the huge church that he has. But what a way to live. Give God 90% and live on 10%. Praise God. I would that each and every one of us would be able to get to that point where we could live that kind of life. On 10%. Amen. That's the blessings of God. There's nothing wrong with God's people to become blessed by Almighty God just like that. But there's principles that have to be put into place. So the first thing that I believe that we must do if we're going to trust in the Lord is that we must be people of integrity. The second thing is that we need to be obedient. Now, I'm not just talking about being obedient to God's word. I'm talking about being obedient when he speaks to us. so that we learn to hear His voice and walk according to the direction and the path that He lays before it. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, there's a story about the king Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. And Samuel had anointed him, and God had called him, and He sent him forth to do some things. And Saul just didn't do what he was told to do. And in one case, Samuel had sent him, by the word of the Lord, to the Amalekites to kill the king, Agag, and all the people and all the animals. When he went to do his deed that God had sent him to do, he chose not to kill the king, to keep him alive, and keep some of the animals, the choice animals. And when Samuel showed up, he heard the animals bleeding and the cattle, and he heard all this noise, and he said to Saul, "What is it? What have you done?" And Saul said, "I did what you told me to do." Now, is that human nature or not? Amen? I did what you told me to do, God. But no, he didn't do what he was told to do. He didn't follow the instructions completely. And he kept back some of the animals. And in order to cover his tracks, he said, "Well, the reason we kept the animals was we were getting ready to sacrifice to the Lord." And here's what Saul says to him. Or Samuel, I'm sorry. "As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king." And that was the beginning of Saul's downfall as king. And of course, we know that God found a man after his own heart, King David. Well, disobedience gets us in lots of trouble. We must learn to hear the voice of the Lord. Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a great fish because of disobedience. I don't know about you, but I've been there before. I have failed to heed the word of the Lord, and it's been a miserable place. It was like being in the belly of a whale. Can you imagine? 3 days, and then having the whale vomit you up on the shore. What a mess! No wonder the people of Nineveh repented when he walked in. My goodness, who is this crazy man? But I want you to understand, obedience is that important. God will do everything he can to bring us to a place of obedience. He doesn't give up on us if we don't do it the first time. The Holy Spirit just keeps working on us, keeps moving on us. But there does come a time when there's consequences for our disobedience. Many years ago, I learned this lesson when I was probably, I was pretty new in the Lord, 3 or 4 years. Probably about 1982, we had a prophet come to the church that I was going to, South Bethel. And this man spoke into people's lives, but he spoke something to me that really was very significant in my life. He told me that a friend was going to, an acquaintance was going to come, and he was going to offer me a position. And that position was not going to be for my good, my benefit, but for his. Now, he also told me that the Lord knew that I was seeking the Lord and I was trying to find God's will and direction for my life. So he went on to tell me this thing that I just mentioned to you. Now, not long after that, a friend of mine did come to me and offer me a position And I've got to say, I don't believe that God's word meant that this guy had evil intentions. That wasn't the idea. But this just was not God's will for my life. So the benefit would have been his, not mine. And as I mentioned before, it is obvious sometimes to us when we see something and we know that that's wrong, but there are some things that appear to be good, but they're not God's will for your life. And this particular business appeared to be a good thing. It was based on the life of Christ. We were selling books to companies in businesses in different areas. And when someone passed away in that area, the company would see it in the paper and they would send a book based on the life of Christ to the family, the bereaved family, to help comfort them. It seemed like a good thing. And I was looking for something. There was more to life, and I don't want to demean the job that I had because, thank God that I had it. But I was working for the state of Ohio on the highway, and I was looking for more fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And so when that opportunity came along, I took a leave of absence, and I went to Kentucky for 2 weeks. The first week was miserable. The second week was much more miserable. The two things that I found out was, number one, I'm not a salesman. I found that out in the first week. The second thing I found out is that when you're not in God's will, God wants you to be miserable. You may not believe that, but that's just part of the process, that when we get outside of God's will, there's a certain amount of misery that we go through because we know that we're in the wrong place. And before that second week was up, I knew without a doubt that I was in the wrong place. And he brought back to my remembrance what that prophet had told me. I was doing something that God had warned me not to do. And it was painful. Thank God he forgives us. I repented. I came back home to my family where I wanted to be. And just a few, I can't remember how long it was, but a few weeks from that, Tammy and I saw the opportunity. We were told by someone in the church there was an opportunity to work at Children's Services in Athens with children there, live in the house. It was we really felt that it was a ministry to abuse and neglected children. And God set us on a different track, which eventually led us to becoming pastors of that same church that we started out in. And now it's Bethel. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. God is good. But once we were in God's will, we had absolutely no doubt that we were doing the right thing. I just want to encourage you, be obedient to the voice of the Lord. He may be speaking to you today. I struggled with telling this story because, I talk about some of these things from time to time, and I don't even like talking about myself. It's not about me, it's about the kingdom of God. And I hope that you hear that in what I'm sharing with you. It wasn't about me. It was the part that's about me is my ignorance. The part that's about God is his mercy and his grace. Amen. That even when we make mistakes, he's there to pick us up and put us right back on the right track. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord for that. I have something else that I have to share with you this morning. I'm going to try to make this as quick as possible because I need to be obedient in this. This is hard for me to talk about because it was a very emotional time. But a couple years ago, Tammy and I were talking about this morning. I was trying to decide, was it just last year or 2 years ago? Do you remember, Eddie, when I had the when I felt like God spoke to me about Chester? 2 years? Yeah, that's what I thought. I need to get on with this. Prior to Upward, we had received a call that somebody was interested in possibly buying the Chester building. And, you know, Tammy told them we didn't own it. It was owned by someone else, and she directed them to that person. And, you know, we have a lot of ministry at Chester. We have the thrift store. We have the food pantry. We have some other storage and stuff that we do there. We use it for, as a community center for people to have parties and for the church. That we just had a wiener roast there. Praise God. That it was awesome to be able to use that. It's a great facility. Play basketball. I love the Upward program. The kids get to come in there and play basketball. But not just play basketball. They learn about Christ, Jesus. It's an awesome place. But you know what? When that person called, Tammy and I both, we looked at each other, and you have to understand, this is 22 years of ministry, you know, working, you know, all the time, it seems like, promoting different activities and trying to do different things for the kingdom of God. And sometimes you get weary, right? Man, did anybody ever feel that? Come on. We're just real around here, right? Amen. We get weary. And Tammy and I, we were a little weary of ministry. And when that person called, we just looked at each other and said, you know, well, this must be the end of the Chester ministry. You know, that's okay. We'll just move on. We'll do something else. We can find things to do, and God can find things for us to do. But we had pretty much just accepted it. During the Upward season, when the kids were out there on the floor playing and I was standing in the gym, I was just, I had no thoughts going through my mind other than about Upward. And all of a sudden, while I was standing there, the Holy Spirit deposited in my spirit and he said, buy this place. I can't talk about it without becoming emotional. Because number one, I don't want to. Number two, I have no doubt that God spoke to me about it. It's one of those things. You know, very few times have I actually heard the voice of the Lord. Another time was when he called me to be the pastor, to be a pastor. I knew I heard the voice of the Lord and I couldn't back away from it. This is one of those times. Even building this facility and moving off the hill, God, we asked God to show us his will. And through a series of events, he showed us that we were to move and we were to build. But I didn't have that kind of experience. This time, this is an experience that I had, and I have to follow through with it. I've got to tell you that it's not my desire. I have no great plans for the Chester building other than what we're doing with it right now. I just know what God spoke to me and said to do. So we're going to set up a fund for people to be able to give into. Thomas told me that he would take $150,000. I don't know if we can get it for less than that. I have no idea what God has in store. All I know is I've got to do and continue to move forward with God, what God spoke to my heart, and be obedient to it. And we're going to do that. And if this is God's will, we're not going to go into debt. If this is God's will, he will make the provision. Plain and simple. And I'm expecting it. Amen. 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 I know. I know that. I appreciate you all so much. Now, maybe I can continue to get through this. Next thing we have to do is wait on the Lord. Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait I say, on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on Him. That's what we must do, is wait on the Lord in every one of these situations. I am convinced that God is going to make the provision, but we're going to wait on the Lord for this situation. When we decided that we were moving from the hill so many years ago, moving from South Bethel to Tepper's Plains. We didn't know at the time that we were moving to Tepper's Plains, but we had an experience where the Spirit was just moving in our service one morning, and the Spirit of God just took over. And I believe it was Mary Pellegrino felt like the Spirit of God said, open the doors. And we opened the doors, and somebody interpreted what God was doing in that particular situation. He said, the Holy Spirit is going forth, and you're to follow. So we interpreted that based on where we were, looking for property, trying to figure out what God wanted us to do, that God wanted us to leave that facility, that old country church. And I got to tell you, those were difficult and scary days. It's never easy to move out by faith, because we were leaving a facility behind, leaving it to a group of people who wanted to stay there, and we were going to a place that we only had 1 year contract. We may have been out on our ear the next year, but we were trusting God. And I just want to tell you, we've got to continue to trust God. We've got to continue to move forward. In your life, I'm trying to encourage you this morning that whatever it is that God's speaking to you, walk by faith and trust Him and wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a promise to God's people. If we will wait on Him. And sometimes I know it seems like we just wait and we wait and we wait and we wait. But please don't be like Saul and become impatient. Wait on the Lord. Don't be like Rob Barber. Become impatient. Wait in the Lord. He has answers for you. He's going to direct you. The great Christian reformer, Martin Luther, he once spent 3 days in a black depression over something that just didn't work out for him. I don't know what it was. On the third day, his wife came down dressed in black. And he said to her, who died? She replied, God. He said, what? Are you crazy, woman? What do you mean God is dead? God is not dead. And she said, well, the way you're acting, He must be. How is right? Now, we like to think of people like Martin Luther, who was a great reformer, a man full of faith, never had times like that, but he was just human. He went through difficulties. And sometimes we have to have somebody wake us up and say, God's not dead. He's still alive. He's ready to move on your behalf. If you wait on Him, you will mount up with wings as eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. That's the God that we serve. He's full of power. He is awesome and He's mighty. And He is speaking to us today that He's going to move in an incredible way in your life, in my life, in our life. Hallelujah. I know some of you have gone through some very difficult times. God's still on your side. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is your Lord. Trust in Him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. He's still alive. Jesus is on the throne. Yes, He is. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, for my sins. He took them upon Himself. He gave us a way to renew that relationship with Almighty God, the Father. He had a relationship with the Father, and when he came to earth, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. And it was in him, and it was walking around. And then when we went to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit, and now the kingdom of God is in us, and wherever we go, we have the opportunity to spread that kingdom. We also have the opportunity to share the truth of the kingdom, that Jesus wants everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's a simple process, isn't it? We take it for granted sometimes. But we must continue to think about it and focus on this, the reality of what God did through us, did for us through his Son Jesus. He's alive. He has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How many want abundant life? I sure do. I want to have it. I want my family to have it. I want my church to have it. I want this community to have it. Abundant living is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it's ours to grasp and hold. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.